Yeah. Yes.
What kind of soda you got there? Let me guess. Let me guess. Dr. Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper.
No. Damn Coke it. Zero today.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the Diet Dr. Pepper earlier.
Oh, so you do have Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I do have a cold Pop-Tart that I plan on eating at some point while you're talking a lot.
Are you hungry?
Just snack, you know. I think we've discussed my liking
fetish?
of cold Pop-Tarts.
Cold and or just like
cold
or
freezer cold?
Oh, freezer cold. Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were wondering about the fudge ones, I think.
Yeah, no, the brown sugar.
Yeah, brown sugar ones. Yeah, I still haven't tried that.
I mean, I haven't. I don't really eat Pop Tarts enough for that to be a thing, so I haven't really been able to test that either. But yeah.
If somebody out there likes the brown sugar Pop Tarts, pop one in the freezer for a few hours and tell Jammer what you think of it.
Let us know. Let us know. Send me an email, joseph@lrmonline.com, because I definitely want that to brighten my day. Someone just letting me know what a frozen brown sugar Pop-Tart is like, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll probably never know.
No, you'll find out someday, one day.
Someday. But I do want to talk about more Star Wars-related news, because we had a bunch of Star Wars stuff that we discussed yesterday in the wake of May the 4th. At the tail end of the day, there was also some news. So loud. There was also some news about Robert Rodriguez and Peyton Reed joining The Mandalorian as directors. Did you see that?
Yeah. Is that for season 2 or 3?
Yeah, 2.
I still don't know how they plan on that shit coming out in the fall. Like,
because it's already been shot.
Oh, it's already been shot. They just didn't tell us they had directed.
They didn't tell us who was directing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They let us know that they were in production and this and that. But yeah, they didn't. This has all been somehow. I don't know how, but actually, I do know how, because they're all in studio. They're not going out on location, so they're not like, they don't have people taking photos and shit.
Yeah, because of that awesome badass fucking panoramic screen.
I'm still shocked by that, but
that shit's awesome.
Because of that, I guess it shouldn't surprise me, one of the filmmakers they have on is Robert Rodriguez. So Rodriguez, first of all, this was first rumored, his involvement was first rumored by, God, I want to give credit where credit is due.
Fuck credit, give it to Wiki.
No, Black Series Rebels. This was late February. They said that him and James Mangold shot either scenes or maybe episodes of the show. There hasn't been a confirmation of James Mangold yet, who directed Logan and I think Ford v Ferrari. But we don't know. We'll see about him. But they were right about Robert Rodriguez. Anyways, there's a picture of Robert Rodriguez next to the child, or Baby Yoda, as he is commonly known to the average human. And it makes a lot of sense. So there are two connections, because as you may notice, Disney likes to work with people they've worked with before. And we'll talk about the other director in a second. But yeah, like Robert Rodriguez, I don't think he's worked with Disney before, but he has worked with 20th Century Fox, right? Who's mm-hmm. for the lead of Battle Angel and who Disney owns now. But I don't think that's the connection as much as it is Jon Favreau. I know him and Favreau are friends. He appeared with him on The Chef Show, which is this Netflix show where Jon Favreau basically goes and he talks creative stuff while they're cooking things. And he talked with Robert Rodriguez, and they're very clearly, know each other very well and have a, they're both really into technology. I think you take a look at Favreau's body of work, like The Lion King and The Jungle Book and The Mandalorian as well. It's very clear he has an infatuation with technology and pushing the boundaries of technology with movies. And Robert Rodriguez has always been the way. He's always been the same way. He's always pushed things, either be it with taking really unique approaches to the way he filmed things. He was notorious for his quick setups. and basically making the most out of what he had and being able to do things on a shoestring budget. And then he was one of the first big pioneers for Hollywood movies to use digital technology like HD cameras and stuff. And obviously he did Alita: Battle Angel and did something really big with that, with the motion capture. So I could see why Disney would want to bring him on and why he would be interested in The Mandalorian, which continues to push technology, affordable technology, with that badass panoramic view. That's just, it's insane. What do you think about Rodriguez joining?
I mean, it's fine with me. There's a lot of movies of his that I'm down with, and that, I mean, I know a lot of people like they don't like all the little kid stuff that he did, but hell, he shot that in his own, the like Lava Boy and Shark Girl stuff and Spy Kids, some of those he shot.
It's Shark Boy and Lava Girl. You got it wrong.
He shot those pretty much for his own kids in his own private studio. So
yeah, yeah, he has his own private fucking studio in Austin, Texas. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. The guy seems like a pretty legit dude. Sat in on a panel at some convention. I don't remember what year, but it was San Diego. I just don't remember.
You know what I bet you it was? I bet you it was that year that both you and I were there and we didn't remember it.
Probably.
It was it Red Sonja? Is that right?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Damn it.
I really don't. I'm sure at some point you and I were in the same room for something. I'm certain of.
I'm sure it was Red Sonja, because I think that's what he was there promoting, was Red Sonja, back when he was on board with that. And they gave out these shirts of the hell's her name, Rose McGowan, with the Red Sonja VFX, whatever, her like licking blood off of a blade.
I don't think so, because it was like a smaller room, and he was talking about his, that's where I learned like he had his own studio and the stuff that he does for his kids. So it was like a smaller room.
Well, I'm jealous because you're in a smaller room. Yeah, he's basically been one of the biggest inspirations for me in terms of like creativity. Just like watch anything that he does. I'll watch anything he does, even if I don't really like the movie. I tend to like the behind the scenes stuff because he always has great stories about the way he was able to, like, I don't know, take something like a limitation and then weave it into gold.
I don't remember which movie's extras it was, but one of the extras was him making some sort of like late night breakfast sandwich.
Oh yeah, that was Sin City breakfast
was it
tacos.
On those special, yeah. So yeah. I thought that was cool. The guy to put that on a set of extras on your film makes it seem like he's a cool dude that like you said, the likely way he got the job is just being for friends with Favreau, and Favreau being like, yeah, Disney, fucking do it.
I mean, being friends and just being he's basically known as like kind of a jack of all trades. Like, he does it all, which is why, to be honest, a lot of times when he does it all, it's not like the best, but his fingerprints are all over it. In a way that you got to respect. That's why it was interesting to see Alita: Battle Angel, to where he wanted to do it more of a James Cameron way. And I think he mostly succeeded, and it's still, you could see a lot of his expertise in there, but yeah, it's not as much of a big fingerprint as his other movies. But yeah, he's very much like he knows the ins and outs of almost every aspect of filmmaking. You know, the music to the production design to the cinematography to the editing, obviously to the directing, and it's just he does all of it.
And I bet he loved playing with that new Stagecraft toy.
Oh, sure. Like, seriously, he probably had wet dreams about it. Probably. No joke. Like, he probably couldn't sleep the night before. It's funny, if you look at like all these interviews with him, and he is, I'm sure, like hyperactive personality. Always, his mind's always working, always thinking. I can imagine he'd be an exhausting human being to, like, you know, what's the word? Be in a relationship with, like, if you were like a spouse or something. Whew, that would be exhausting, because he'd always be on. Always be on. Anyways, he also had this great reality TV show Rebel Without a Crew. Did you ever read that book he wrote, Rebel Without a Crew?
No.
It was essentially it was his journal entries from when he made his first movie, El Mariachi, and it was basically about that. And that's kind of the thing he's taken from there. About, he took a handful of filmmakers in this reality TV show, and he gave them $7,000 and an opportunity to make a feature movie. And then it just chronicles them and him sort of like acting as like a mentor and guiding them along the way. It's really cool. So if you're into filmmaking,
I heard about the show.
Yeah, it's a fun show. If you're into filmmaking, it's worth watching.
Cool.
Yeah. Clearly, I know way too much about this guy. Like, I am way invested.
You said he was a great inspiration to you. So, yeah. Of course, you're going to know a lot about him.
Mm.
That's like somebody saying, hey, Kyle, have you ever heard of this guy, Michael Stackpole?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, Rodriguez is my Michael Stackpole to you.
Yeah, the next name on the list,
there's someone else I forgot.
Interesting too.
Agreed.
Because he directed a genre film that we talked about yesterday that I said, you know what, I don't want to see that again in Star Wars, but an episode that might feature something like this again. I don't know. Let's see. Go ahead and read the news part and the name.
Peyton Reed. Peyton Reed, you may know him from Ant-Man and the Wasp. Those are like the big ones that he kind of broke out with.
Yep. So, and those are both heist movies.
The second one the heist movie? Is it? I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. I've only seen it once and a half. Once and a half times.
There's a lot of there's several heists that happen in that movie. People stealing back and forth, and then a big plot at the end to steal it all back and get Janet back out of the quantum zone. So not as like one solid heist that you had in the first movie, but still that elements still there. And I was pointing out how both Rogue One and Solo are sort of heist films.
Right.
Solo was a terrible one, and Rogue One, I like it. I know you are okay with it. You don't think it's as good as some people say it is.
It's entertaining, but there's lots of problems I have with it. I don't get wet over it like a lot of fans because of the references.
Yeah. So I kind of said I don't want to see any type of heist, but then I remembered there's kind of a heist episode of The Mandalorian where he goes to rescue that human and that Twi'lek, and that's sort of heist-ish. You know, you get a crew, you're going in for a package, shit goes wrong. So that's been done, but Peyton Reed has a really good sense of humor about him.
Yeah, he does.
And that was one of the things I really enjoyed about The Mandalorian, is they weren't afraid to let him be sarcastic. They weren't afraid to let him have a little bit of humor. And not just him, but other characters too. And so Peyton Reed is an interesting choice that I'm really excited to see comedically what he ends up doing. I mean, Taika's the one that did the episode with the two troopers trying to shoot at the rock or the can or something, right?
Yeah.
But to be clear,
he didn't write it. John Favreau wrote most of the scripts, except for episode 6, which was the prison, which was the heist one that you're talking about, which was written by Christopher Yost and Rick Famuyiwa.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Still, Favreau is also a funny guy. I mean, if anybody's ever seen
Elf.
Yeah, but I was thinking of other movies.
Swingers.
Swingers was one.
Rudy.
Very Bad Things. Is that one of his?
I don't know.
Am I mixing somebody up?
You might be, but you might not be. I think I've seen the movie once, and it was like back in high school, maybe younger.
Because it's a very grown-up movie that like I got in my mind, and I can't remember Favreau was in it. Now Peter Berg directed it, but Favreau was in it. So Favreau's got a mind for comedy. So
he was in Friends.
yes, he was. Regardless, the movies or the show has got a couple of comedic minds on it again for season two, and I'm excited to see what comes out of it.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. I think I'm wondering, because you mentioned that, yeah, it'd be cool to see what heist stuff he'd bring into it. I'm wondering if, because actually looking at it now, Rick Famuyiwa's episode, The Prisoner, which was its quote-unquote heist episode, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that episode was the only episode, well, that's a lie, Dave Filoni's episode as well. Okay, so I'm somewhat full of shit here. Episode 5, The Gunslinger. He works at Cantina Fury meeting, blah, blah. Okay, so that's the girl character played by Gina Carano. So here's what I'm saying. I think Jon Favreau wrote 6 episodes of straight story. And then they basically got in and said, and this is me making shit up based on things I'm seeing. There's one episode that's fully written by Dave Filoni and one that's written by Christopher Yost and Rick Famuyiwa. I'm pretty sure what they said, hey, let's go ahead and fill these other little mini stories in it so we can, you know, get more episodes and get to know the characters a bit more. I'm wondering if it's a situation where Peyton Reed is just going to execute one of like the main storyline, or if it's going to be a situation where he kind of brings in like a story idea, maybe works with someone mm-hmm. to develop a little complete story within the season, kind of like what Famuyiwa and Filoni did. Because those two episodes are, wait, Sanctuary, which one is that?
I didn't pay attention to the title names, not going to lie.
Okay, so I'm full of shit once again, but my point remains.
He could be writing this episode as well as directing, or he could be just directing.
He could be directing
something Favreau did, and either way, directors get to they each have their own flair. Like all throughout The Mandalorian, you can feel little differences, little things, whether it's the shot angles or pacing or the way things just feel. And it might be just in my mind because I know there were different directors for it, but
Could you feel differences? No, not really. Things? I mean, not really. Maybe little things, but the thing is, whenever I associate those things, those feeling differences, I chalk it up to the writing more than I do the directing. But that might be just wrong on my. I just think maybe more as a writer than I do as a director, so maybe that's where my mind is coming from. I don't know how they structured this compared to a TV show.
How dare your mind come from a different place than mine?
But yeah, I guess like when I watch a TV show, it's like most TV shows, they have a Bible of how they go about doing it. They have someone who's quote unquote show running it and, you know, is kind of guiding everything along. I don't know how hands on Jon Favreau was, because I think for a good chunk of this, he was off doing The Lion King. So I'm not sure mm-hmm. if this is a more director-driven show than before or not. Like, I wish I knew more about how they actually worked with each other, how involved Favreau was, how the story was developed, and all of that stuff. Because, yeah, I could not tell the difference between all of the directors in the slightest. And like they said, even the Stormtrooper thing where it's like, oh yeah, that's Taika Waititi. But I'm like, but that was probably in the script. So how much of it was his influence versus the script? It's like, you never know.
Yeah. What's funny about, TV shows, is like you said, they go through different directors often. And it's not that uncommon, even for a Netflix show, mm-hmm. To do several directors for a small amount of shows, but Pamela Fryman directed the overwhelming majority of the episodes, the 208 episodes of How I Met Your Mother. Like, there's only a handful. She directed close to like 200 of them, and that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
For one person
that's intense.
Yeah, to actually direct that many of them. I'm looking down the list trying to see real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, so there's like 12, and then the last season was all her. So yeah, like 12. So just under 200 that she didn't direct.
Jesus,
I may have missed a name or two. I was looking through the episode lists on Wiki. So, you know, over 190 at least episodes of a 9-season show. That's pretty crazy.
That's fucked
to
up.
Me. Yeah,
that's she probably did not sleep, or she got into a system to where you didn't have to think about it as much.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, but both directors getting back on track to Star Wars, and not the better version of Friends, since you mentioned Friends earlier, because that's what how I Met Your Mother is.
It's
a better
Friends, no,
it's
a hackneyed, cheesy TV show. I don't like hilarious. It. It's terrible.
Better.
Don't
you're,
like it.
You're terrible. No Patrick Harris.
History has spoken. Friends is better than How I Met Your Mother.
Friends is okay.
No, Friends is great.
Friends is okay.
No.
Anyways, back to Peyton Reed and John Favreau, not John Favreau, Robert Rodriguez. Both directors have their own style, their own techniques, their own things that they can bring to the show, whether they're just directing from Robert's script John's scripts, or if they're writing their own or writing with someone else.
I think it'd be a great opportunity for them to let the directors have a hand in the scripts. That'd be cool. I mean, maybe they are doing that, because I think
A
lot more. Like, if they say, like, for each director, you know, they get a say in the script, where normally it's like you show up and then you basically execute something that's there from the showrunner. I think there's an opportunity there to do something a little bit different, but I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, I would hope that the majority of showrunners and writers... if the director comes up and says, "Hey, this isn't feeling right. Come over here and look at this scene. Maybe look at it on a I don't know if shows have dailies, because they take 2 or 3 days or a week to film or whatnot. Come here and look at this. See what I mean? It's not working. But I think if we did this and this, then it might feel a little bit more this or that." You know what I'm saying?
I think what they mostly do is that will mostly have to do with logistical things, or maybe lines here or there, or maybe little things here or there. But I'm talking about like shaping an actual story around the expertise or the desire of a script, as if taking, like, saying like, "Hey, there's going to be an episode here directed by Peyton Reed. Peyton, here are the key things that we want to happen to make sure the story is progressing. But basically, apart from that, do the story, whatever." And he could say, like, "Okay, work with a writer. Work with Sally. She's a great writer. You guys can develop it, and then she can write the script. And then essentially, that's how you come up with it. And basically, that's how you shape an episode around a director's talents." That's not how they're doing it, probably, but that would be cool. And that's not common with TV.
Yeah, no. But like I was saying, I would hope that if a director found something that wasn't working very well, executing, a writer or showrunner would be willing to listen.
On that level, for sure. Yeah, if it's something like mostly either it's not working for like a line change here or there, maybe like a scene cut or a scene whatever. Like, yeah, but I'm talking about shaping a whole story.
Yeah, no, not shaping the whole thing. But yeah, both directors, interesting choices.
Yeah.
So
I wonder who else is on board. I wonder if they have Mangold, and if that's the case, I'm wondering if Taika Waititi is involved at all. Maybe not, because he's doing the actual Star Wars movie. But then again, it's not like this; it's a conflicting schedule or anything. So maybe he did. I wonder if Deborah Chow is coming back, or if she's too busy with. I think she was attached to Obi-Wan, or maybe
it was, she was.
Yeah, Obi-Wan
maybe still is.
Then Bryce Dallas Howard, maybe she's coming back. I feel like this would be a good way for her to continue honing her skills, since that was kind of her first direction. Rick Famuyiwa, maybe he's off doing something, maybe he's back, I don't know. Dave Filoni, I'm assuming he's back.
Yeah, that would be a safe assumption.
Yeah, so I don't know, like,
he's done with Clone Wars,
but that's already like five or six directors I've named, I think, so that's a lot.
I don't care about Mangold. Everybody's like in love with Logan, and yeah, you and I piss people off all the time because we're like, it's overrated. It really, really was overrated. Mm-hmm. And that people hate me all the time for saying that. And I'm like, you're just looking through it through the Fox X-Men lenses. You're like, oh yeah, you're comparing it to what came before, but compare it to other stuff, and no, it's
like you're stretching because you want it to be recognized as like a serious, yes, genre or something. Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, it's all of a sudden it's great because it conforms to these tropes that I've seen Oscar movies have.
Yeah. And so,
well, of course, you're to be fair, if you like the movie, good for you, that's totally fine, but that's kind, yeah, of how absolutely. I feel.
Yeah that's, yeah, there's things I point out all the time to people that slowed the movie down, that you could cut and make it move a little bit faster, and the villain, multiple of the villains kind of being like, really, didn't we already kind of do this once? And so Mangold is not somebody that I don't really hold it against him, but because that's the last thing I saw from him, I'm not jumping up and down about, yeah, that. If he was supposed to do the Boba Fett movie,
yeah,
and I was against a Boba Fett movie before they even mentioned a Boba Fett movie. I was against the idea of it back when they said they were going to do anthology films, and my friends and I, Brian being one of them, were like, oh, you know, what stories could they tell? And I was like, somebody in Disney's going to think, man, Boba Fett's really popular. We should do a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
And sure enough.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about that back in like 2012, 2013, after Disney purchased
Lucasfilm,
and it was just kind of funny, you know, a couple years later, yeah, we're doing a Boba Fett movie. Oh, god damn it, motherfucker! No,
so, yeah,
I was really happy. Sorry if you were one looking forward to a Boba Fett movie. No. I was actually really happy that was canceled. But hey, you get your Mandalorian kicks here with the Mandalorian,
Din Djarin.
And he does a lot of things that are Fett-ish. See what I did there?
God damn it! That wasn't that funny. I hate you.
He does a lot of things that a lot of people would see Fett doing, but he has shown himself to be a completely new character, especially in some of the later episodes with interactions with Gina's character,
Gina Carano,
and interactions with big 80s actor, the guild
oh,
leader.
Oh yeah, I know you're talking about. I forgot his name. Yeah. Too. Why did I forget his name? Oh my god.
I don't know. I feel so terrible because
he's,
about
it. It's fine.
He's,
we know who you're talking about.
Huge actor, and but I think that Mandalorian has absolutely separated himself from everybody's picture of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I think yeah, there's no way Boba Fett takes care of that little kid.
They've already separated him enough. I think they've already done things in canon that pretty much prove that he's not Boba Fett, which is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot specifically what it was, but I mean, for starters, he doesn't go by Boba Fett, so there's that. So I think that's a good help, and also the timeline.
Yeah. So
Carl Weathers.
We're good. Carl Weathers, there it
God,
is.
Yes. I can't believe
sorry,
I forgot
sorry,
that too.
Sorry, Mr. Weathers, and sorry, fans, for forgetting his name, because he's like a 80s like megastar. So, but yeah, I that's... is there any other director, maybe for season 3 or maybe in a season 2 episode you would like to see tapped?
Yeah. I think that's pretty much all I can... That pretty much fills the list. Like, there are no other possibilities, right? Because it's just the sheer number of episodes.
Not for season 2, but
maybe
like
for the future.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because didn't they already greenlight season 3 of Mandalorian?
Yeah. By greenlight, yeah. I think they... I don't know specifically how far along they are, but they basically said, yes, we're going to go forward with it. Which
so
is great.
Which director... has that you really like that hasn't touched it would you like to see?
So I don't know if this counts as really liking him, because I don't know if there's a movie that I really liked of his. But what about David Ayer? I think he could be good, because of his use of morally gray characters. What's the guy's name? Oh my god, give me a second. I know exactly who I'm thinking of. What movie was I thinking of? He is... Give me one second. Okay. Oh, Antoine Fuqua.
Okay.
I think he'd be great.
Was that...
Training Day? Was that him? Antoine Fuqua. What did he direct?
Was it Dope?
No. The Equalizer... Training Day, Magnificent Seven. I don't think it was Dope. I think that's Rick Famuyiwa.
Okay.
So Antoine Fuqua, I think he'd be good. Who else?
I have a pick that I think might be kind of cool.
Okay.
Stephen S. DeKnight.
Yeah, I think that would be good as well. Oh, on that same level.
So people know he did the Daredevil Netflix series.
Daredevil Netflix series. Along those same lines, who did that movie about that hotel that was really good? What the hell is that movie called? I can imagine it starred Jeff Bridges and Dakota Johnson. Is that her name? Oh my god, how did I not remember this one? Drew Goddard.
Okay, Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, Drew Goddard. I was actually I had him in the back of my mind because he did a lot of stuff on Buffy and Angel, and then he also did Cabin in the Woods.
Right.
And I fucking love Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, that was an unexpected little surprise.
Yeah, and he was the actual showrunner for Daredevil, while DeKnight did a lot of the directing.
He kept it on the rails. Well, I think DeKnight only did the first half of season 1, if I recall, and then left to do something else. Or maybe Drew Goddard's the one who left. No, Drew Goddard's the one who left. He left to go do Sinister Six, and that didn't happen. And then he was lined up to do X-Force, and that probably isn't going to happen. That poor man. I feel so bad for him. And also, Bad Times at El Royale didn't do well. It flopped, which sucks, because that movie is really good. It's basically felt... It was what I wanted The Hateful Eight to be. Except better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it yet. I need to. So
it's pretty good.
Well, those are all great names. Hope maybe we'll see one of them on the season 3 directors' lists.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Probably not there. So, yeah. I think they're a little bit too edgy, but you never know.
You do never know. Depends on where season two leaves our group of protagonists at. Because I'm not going to always call them heroes, because they could do some things that aren't very hero-ish. But anyways, good to have you on the show as always, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out LRMonline.com every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel and the LRM Online podcast channel. I cannot tell you enough how many hundreds of hours of entertainment is available from LRM on the podcast network, from Breaking Geek Radio, from LR Mornings, old episodes of LRM Ranks It, Geek Scholars Movie News, so much stuff on there. Literally, you could drive across the country and still not listen to all of it. So, give us a subscribe and leave some comments about what you think of now I've got our new directors on the mind. What you think of Reed and Rodriguez getting the gig, and who you might like to see get an season three director spot on The Mandalorian. Jammer.
Yeah.
Where can people find you out online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, all my film stuff at LRMonline.com, and if you search in Audible or Amazon for the name AJ Serna, you'll find my novels.
There you go. You guys can find me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
God, I hate you.